Rocking and rolling. Hello, nerds. So it would appear I have figured out, move this microphone a little bit. It would appear that I have figured out the issues we were having last week. So again, my apologies that last week was so disjointed and not great, but that is why you don't upgrade your streaming software 5 minutes before a stream, because you can't see if there's going to be bugs. I just assumed, and that's what I get. So welcome, nerds. This is the live news. Got to make sure I've got all my windows doing the thing so that everything is cooperating. And let's jump into the news portion of today. Sorry, I just got lost. All right, so reading the news, we're going first to cosmicbook.news. Looking at the top five, we're probably going to go through all of these. So let's just jump right in. First, we have a new Alien movie from Fede Alvarez at Hulu. Disney continues to expand its Alien franchise as a new original Alien standalone movie is in development for Hulu from 20th Century Studios. Director Fede Alvarez. Fede Alvarez, who directed Don't Breathe and the remake of Evil Dead. Oh, that's why I recognized his name. Okay, that makes sense. The Evil Dead remake was not terrible. It wasn't nearly as good as the original, but I don't know that there is much in horror that is. THR offers that Ridley Scott remembered the pitch and recently called up Alvarez about his idea, which saw Alvarez immediately say yes to. Scott will be producing. Cool. No plot details are known, obviously, because it was just announced. And it will be a standalone, completely separate movie. Also said that Alvarez is a rabid fan of the franchise. We've heard that before. So that sounds pretty freaking cool. The new Alien movie. Hopefully it'll be better than that last Predator movie we got. But, I mean, beggars can't be choosers, I guess. So the next one is one that I found very interesting. I Am Legend sequel starring Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan. Sorry, my throat is a little messed up. Killswitch Engage concert last night. It was amazing, and now this is what I sound like. So I Am Legend sequel is in development at Warner Brothers, which will star Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan, both actors also producing. So, didn't Will Smith die at the end of the... Yeah, totally did. Even in the alternate version of the ending, I'm pretty sure he still dies. Anyway, original writer, Oscar winner Akiva Goldsman, who adapted the Richard Matheson 1954 novel for the first film, is also returning to write the follow-up and will be a producer as well. It's also reported that all the deals for Smith, Jordan, and Goldsman are done, but the flick doesn't have a director yet. The original 2007 movie was directed by Francis Lawrence. Both Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan confirmed the I Am Legend sequel on their respective Instagram accounts with the following image. Interesting. It's, for those of you playing the audio game, that is just an image of the abandoned New York landscape that we saw in the first movie. And actually, it looks like developed film. There's an effect across the top that looks like it's somebody put... developed this film in a dark room or something. So Will Smith survives I Am Legend? ? Yeah, that's the big question, right? Is at the end of the proper ending for this movie, that character died. No plot details are known, but Deadline is describing the film as the next chapter. And what is interesting is that since Will Smith is coming back, that must mean his character, Robert Neville, somehow survives the end of the first movie, where he sacrifices himself by using a grenade to kill the Darkseeker, a.k.a. vampire, alpha male, that in turn gives Anna and Ethan time to escape, where they find a survivor colony and give the cure to the military. The original I Am Legend does have an alternate ending where both Smith and the alpha male do survive, so maybe that has something to do with the new movie. Yeah, perhaps. And then they go talk about, oh, it's just a picture of the Easter egg, that which was like 15 years ahead of time. So that's really cool. I really like the I Am Legend movie. I also really like Will Smith and Michael B. Jordan. So hopefully they do something that makes sense. That's going to be a really thin wire to walk, man. Quantum Leap reboot has cast Raymond Lee as the lead. Quantum Leap reboot has cast Raymond Lee as the lead NBC hour-long for the hour-long pilot that is in development. Lee will play Dr. Ben Song, described as the spiritual successor to Scott Bakula's Dr. Sam Beckett from the original series. Raymond Lee confirmed the news on Instagram, where he uses Bakula's trademark Leap phrase, "Oh boy." Scott Bakula is not presently involved with the reboot. Still not presently involved with the reboot. I watched this show all the time when I was a kid, so I'm a bit of a fan. I really hope Bakula comes back for this, but I mean, either way, it's going to be pretty cool. I hope. It's further said Lee's Ben Song is both a scientist and a man of faith, and that he is a world-renowned physicist working on a time travel project known as Quantum Leap. So if this is, I don't get it. Yeah, I'm not getting into the politics of the other stuff that's in this article, but working on a time travel project known as Quantum, like, shouldn't this be like a little more, I don't know, I guess he's a world-renowned physicist. The vocabulary at the end of this seems a little weird, but really interested to see. Also really like that they're not retelling the story of Sam Beckett with a different actor. Like, they're moving forward with the story with a new actor. Unless you bring back Scott Bakula to play Beckett, just move on. If you're going to tell a story inside this universe, that's fine, but move on. And that's what they're doing. So that's really cool. And then the next one was The Craven the Hunter. We have Alessandro Nivola cast as a villain. I don't know who this Alessandro person is. It's unknown which villain the actor will be playing, with Deadline only offering the villain in the film. So this will be the main villain. Alessandro Nivola confirmed the casting news on Instagram, which reunites him with director J.C. Shandor from 2014's A Most Violent Year. Also not familiar with that movie. Last thing the world needs, quote, last thing the world needs to know right now, but it's not fake news. A second date for me and J.C. Shandor. Craven will be an anti-hero, which I find very interesting. Like, I can see you doing that with Venom, because that does happen in the comic books, but I am unaware of any comic book where Craven becomes an anti-hero. He's always an antagonist as Spider-Man, so how they're going to spin this with him as the protagonist for this movie is very intriguing to me. Interesting enough, Craven happens to be a major Spider-Man villain, but the article describes Craven as being among Marvel's most iconic and notorious anti-heroes. So we see similar to Venom and Morbius. Again, Morbius, I'm pretty sure I've read some stuff with him as a legit anti-hero. Not Craven, though. That Sony is going to turn Craven to more of a hero, though it should be said Craven is actually more of a villain than the latter two. Yeah, that's the point I just made. Alessandro Nivola is also known for roles in many Saints of Newark. There we go. That's kind of why it almost sounded familiar. Black Isn't it Narcissus? That's not how you spell Narcissus. Narcissus. And Chimerica, which is a really intriguing title of a movie. So I've the first I'm hearing of it. I'm very interested. Anyway.
Russo.
Dog fight. Okay. Cast of Kraven the Hunter. This is the part that is the, in case you missed it. Ariana DeBose as Calypso, Fred Hechinger as Chameleon, Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kraven himself. Oh, I forgot about that part. I totally forgot that they had cast Kraven. And Russell Crowe, thought to be playing the Russian father of Kraven and Chameleon. Kraven the Hunter has a January 13th of 2023 release date. With directing by J.C. Shandor, Avi Arad, and Matt Tolmach producing, and Art Markham and Matt Holloway and Richard Wank wrote the screenplay. Cool. Cool. So it sounds like the majority of the cast, the primary cast at least, has been casted, which is great. Doctor Strange 2 IMAX trailer shows off more of the footage. So I really want to go into these trailers, but last time I think that was also part of the problem, so we're going to avoid watching trailers. 26% more picture, yeah. New Dimension of Strange. Is there actually new scenes? Oh, interesting. It's got a side by side. But I don't think that doesn't really reveal anything new to us, so whatever. Okay, Batman box office. Let's talk Batman box office, because apparently in the state of Utah, Batman released on Monday, and that's not how that's supposed to happen. But it is now open worldwide. Oh, no, not worldwide. Directed blah, 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 blah. Previews include early Tuesday and Wednesday fan screenings. So apparently a movie theater chain in Utah thought that meant they could just open it. Because I know people who saw it on Tuesday. My mom? Oh. Brought in 4 million just between Tuesday and Wednesday fan screenings, as well as Thursday preview day. Batman brought in 17.6 million, which is a number just short of Spider-Man No Way Home's 20 million Thursday preview. Wow. So the 17.6 plus the 4 million, you're over the 20 million Thursday preview if you count the fan screenings. So that's impressive. While not really a fair comparison, Batman is not expected to open as big as Spider-Man, which opened 122 million on Friday, including Thursday, and had a 260 million opening weekend, as the Batman is expected to have a $60 million Friday opening. Its opening weekend will be 100 plus million, but the numbers are still really good for the movie. And especially considering Spider-Man did not go to China, but Batman is going to go to China. So that means we will very likely see sequels. And I have heard very little bad about Batman yet. I haven't seen it yet. I probably won't see it until the end of the weekend at the earliest, sadly. Just couldn't make my schedule work for it. Star Wars Eclipse video game likely cancel. Oh! Interesting. So Star Wars, the video game we covered in the show, if you listen to the full show. This is the big... High Republic era game that Quantic Dream released a really early video, the cinematic trailer, set in the High Republic era. Star Wars Eclipse is an intricately branching action adventure game that can be experienced in many ways and puts the destinies of multiple playable characters in your hands, created in collaboration between Quantic Dream and Lucasfilm Games. While the game has been said to be getting released in 2024, now it is reported the release date could be pushed back to 27 or 28 if it even happens. So this is speculative, it would seem. This is rumor mill stuff. Video game news site Xfire reports there are major problems with Star Wars Eclipse getting clips off the ground, as a developer, Quantum Dream, is having a hard time finding people to develop the game and work at the company, which follows a sexual harassment allegation and claims of toxic work culture at Quantic Dream. Oh, I think that's the first I've been hearing of that. Just because I haven't been digging into the Star Wars gaming side very much, because we haven't gotten a whole lot of gaming side. So there's that. Rumor is Eclipse is dead in the water, but we will, as more, very likely more is going to happen. So we will be keeping tabs. Moving right along, Tom Hiddleston, Mark Ruffalo talk passing the torch, and no thanks, Darkseid might be coming to Superman and Lois. Interesting, but that is rumor, so rumor has it we might be seeing Darkseid in the Superman and Lois series, which this is super early in that run. Do you really want to go with the heavy hitter of Darkseid in Superman and Lois? Like, give it a couple more seasons to breathe. That's one of the things that if you have any qualms with Smallville, it's because they kind of rushed a lot of the stories that they were telling in the Superman universe, and then they had some continuity issues. If you wanted to tie it into any other existing Superman universe, then it was a difficult thing to do. So bringing Darkseid in this early in the game seems like a questionable move. Moon Knight unleashes two posters, blah, blah, blah. DC Comics disaster continues as offices close down, like we've been talking about in the rumor mill, even though it seems like all evidence points to yes. Doctor Strange 2, unprecedented massive reshoots confirmed. I don't know if that's legit. It would seem that that is more speculation. Or also that it tested poorly and they needed to clarify some things. I don't know how massive, because reshoots happen. Like, this is the thing that I don't get. If it's a movie that fits one narrative and it has to do reshoots, then people who want to follow the opposite narrative are like, oh, see, it's garbage. And same vice versa. Like, this is why I always say I'm not holding my breath until it comes out, because, like, it just doesn't, it's no fun to get stressed about something. And it's a lot of fun to talk about the possibilities, what we could see, what we want to see. Yeah, sure, let's do that. But to stress out about why they're changing something or X, Y, and Z just makes no sense to me. It's confirmed Doctor Strange 2 went through unprecedented massive reshoots, so much so that the entire movie had to be refilmed, which confirms those early reports about troubles surrounding the flick. It's also, they're trying to rework an entire... They're also trying to rework an entire film universe that had to be reorganized because of the worldwide pandemic. So I feel like it's all smoke and no fire. Like, there's no reason to be so negative about this. I just don't get that. Anyway. Well, Marvel movies and other films. All right, so let's back up these statements there, Cosmic Book. While Marvel movies and other films do go through reshoots, it is said that a majority of Doctor Strange 2 had to be redone, which has never happened before that I can recall, especially for Marvel, other than something like DC's Justice League coming to mind. Yikes. The news comes from the longtime friend Doctor Strange 2 director Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, as a Redditor attended a recent meetup with the actor where Campbell confirmed the reshoots for Doctor Strange 2 bold my own. So this is what Bruce Campbell said. So let's see if we can sift through the nonsense. The deal with Doctor Strange is interesting. Majority of the film was reshot extensively, so I have no idea what's in there and what isn't. I did a cool scene with a character that's been beloved for years, and, well, we'll have to see what ends up in the movie. I don't know if it's still there. It's a pretty cool part. This movie was supposed to have come out like 2 years ago. So yeah, things got shuffled. I just, yeah, we're not going to get any deeper into that. We're just continuing on. I've said my piece. Jordan Peele, nope. Poster turns off gravity. I don't care about a poster. Bullet Train trailer is here, starring Brad Pitt from Deadpool director. Craven the Hunter casts Ariana DeBose as Calypso. We've already talked about that. Daredevil, Marvel, Netflix, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, interesting. I didn't know Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was also part of that. That wasn't in the release that I read. Will add more Marvel live-action series titles to its extensive content offering US, Canada, UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. In addition of Marvel's Daredevil, Marvel's Jessica Jones, Marvel's Luke Cage, Marvel's Iron Fist, Marvel's The Defenders, and Marvel's The Punisher, plus Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There it is. I just didn't remember that part, apparently, when I was taking my notes. Giving fans access to more from the Marvel collection all in one place. Announced Marvel.com on Tuesday. Parental controls to be updated. Yeah, if you... They're changing the way the parental controls work on Disney Plus with the release of Daredevil and such. Trailer 2 is here, and now we're into ground that we covered in the most recent episode. So we're getting out of here, going to We Got This Covered. So for some more garbage movies, let's jump into movies. Batman composer reacts to news anchor's viral appreciation of his theme. Oh my lord. These guys have gold in the worst ways, because their rumors are so much fun to shoot down and break apart. But also you really have to sift through a lot of nonsense to get there. Batman opening week in May, top 150 million analysts say. How future films will tackle iconic character. Oh, there is a bit of a spoiler. I do know that much at the end. That's really interesting, considering they are making this into a universe. So, yeah. To pay attention to the final scene with the Riddler. What the hell? All right, here we go. Nicolas Cage is the Matt Ban, uncaged, in the Batman parody. Open a new tab. Okay, let's do this. Nicolas Cage. He's really trying to pay back the IRS, isn't he? He's doing everything he can get his hands on. Film studio Lionsgate is a little fun toying with fans of The Batman, which hit theaters Friday by releasing their own Nicolas Cage starring parody trailer called The Matt Ban Uncaged. As you might expect, the video features many clips of Cage from Kick-Ass as the unhinged vigilante Big Daddy, who is very much styled after and a parody of The Dark Knight, but in the more grounded, realistic universe of the 2010 film. Oh. So this isn't like a legitimate new parody. Alright, yeah, okay. We're good. It's funny, though. Batman swoops into first weekend, strong box office, casting for Peacock's Pitch Perfect spinoff now complete, blah, 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 blah. Job creator Christopher Nolan adds David Rysdahl to massive Oppenheimer cast. Batman slips in a huge retcon for Bruce Wayne family tree. Okay, so we're going to get into this, but before I do, because it is what it is, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen Batman, I don't know for sure that this is going to spoil anything, but you have been warned, because I haven't read this previously. That's the point of the live video, is we're doing this all together. Batman slipped in a huge retcon. Oh, wait. All right, so 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, you've been warned like three times now. Slips in a huge retcon to Bruce Wayne's family tree that could have major repercussions for the franchise, though it is more standalone than most superhero films these days. Director Matt Reeves' new movie still has an eye on the future and feeds in a few details that will no doubt be picked up in further installments of the so-called Batverse. One of these connects to the Dark Knight's own heritage, and what is a subtle yet significant rewriting of comic book lore. Ooh, fanboys are going to be mad. Spoilers to follow. There, again, another warning. When the Riddler targets Bruce Wayne as part of Gotham's elite, the serial killer exposes various dark secrets about Bruce's parents. He even accuses Thomas Wayne of ordering a hit on a journalist who planned to expose his wife's traumatic past. While this revelation, which incidentally turns out to be false, is the main purpose of the scene, it is also explained that Martha Wayne is part of the Arkham bloodline, the city's other founding family. I thought that was part of the lore for the Arkham Asylum video game series. This is an original concept specific to the Batman. I apparently am remembering that incorrectly then, according to We Got This Covered, but it is We Got This Covered, so who knows? As Martha's maiden name in the comic books is Kane. Oh, that's right. I was misremembering that. Legit. And it's through his mother that Bruce is related to his cousin Kate Kane, a.k.a. Batwoman. That's easily fixable in this lore. Come on now, maiden names are a thing. It could be a second cousin. They could bring him down as a second cousin. That's a little silly. That's grasping at straws. It's not a major retcon. This erasure of the Canes from the movie's continuity could have key consequences. Specifically, it looks like the Scarlet Knight doesn't feature in any of Reeves' plans. While that might be disappointing for Batwoman fans, the trade-off is that it makes Bruce's lineage even more interesting. That's debatable. Despite lending their name to the infamous asylum, the Arkhams, we're not going to read history on Batman characters. That is an interesting observation, though. Theoretically, gonna have to do a little bit of extra writing if they want to incorporate Batwoman into the Matt Reeves Batverse. Andy Serkis champions Robert Pattinson as the perfect fit for Batman and Bruce Wayne. I definitely will hold on to that one, because I don't know if I buy that one just yet. But he is a better actor than someone to give him credit for. Angelina Jolie sets Without Blood as her next directorial effort. A time-traveling sci-fi dud rewinds the clock on streaming. Francis Ford Coppola on why he's self-financing Megalopolis. Interesting. A Liam Neeson movie stop with the things and the nonsense. Batman Forever trends as fans rank their favorite Batman films. Really? That's a people's favorite Batman film? Yikes. One of Mark Wahlberg's many failed action movies. I don't care. Disney Plus offering ad-supported option later this year. Ooh, let's get into that. Mouse House has announced today that Disney Plus will introduce an ad-supported subscription office to the U.S. users later this year, with intentions to offer the option to international markets in 2023. Disney launched its streaming service in November of 2019, featuring a collection of TV shows and films from Disney and producers, including Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, National Geographic, and more. The platform has offered monthly and yearly pricings, as well as bundle options for Disney-owned streaming services, ESPN Plus and Hulu. March 2021, the subscription service for Disney Plus rose to $7.99 a month, or $79.99 for the year. The company reported in January that it has amassed 129.8 million subscribers. That is a lot of money. If they all did the cheaper option at $80 a year, that's more than I can really care to compute right now. It's sitting here. But in January, during its brief lifetime, and boasts 196.4 million subscribers across Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu. Disney Media and Entertainment Distribution Chairman Karim Daniil said in a press release that the move is a win for the streaming giants, subscribers, advertising partners, and content creators. More consumers will be able to access our move. That's right. I was not reading that correctly. I apologize. Access our amazing content. Advertisers will be able to reach a wider audience. Blah, 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 blah. Where is a potential price? Disney aims to reach 230 to 260 million subscribers on Disney Plus alone by 2024 fiscal year. president of advertising. Come on, where is a... All right, so I guess we're just going to have to read these last couple of paragraphs to get the rest of the details, because it says pricing details will be announced at a later date in the very last line. So president of advertising for Disney Media and Entertainment Distribution, Rita Farrow, emphasized the new options appeal not to subscribers but potential new partners. Advertisers have been clamoring for the opportunity to be part of Disney Plus. She said Disney Plus with advertising will offer marketers the most premium environment in streaming with our most beloved brands, Disney, Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, National Geographic. Can't wait to share more. Yeah, the language of the announcement suggests the subscription option may not be entirely free. Hulu also offers a tiered priced subscription model featuring ad support. Service promises a launch date and pricing details will be announced at a later date. That stinks. Batman director admits he shot fake scenes to prevent spoilers. That's cool. That's also something Marvel's been doing for years. Penguin actor Colin Farrell felt untouchable as Batman villain. Colin Farrell found absolute liberation by becoming the Penguin. That's two articles that are effectively the exact same headline. Like, why would you write the same article twice? That's stupid. The Crow producer says updates on the reboot are coming soon. So we're going to dive into this momentarily, because the Crow reboot is something we've been talking about since it was announced like 4 years ago. So City of Angels, Salvation, Wicked Prayer, all not great. City of Angels, not bad, but definitely not great. We may get a new Crow movie worthy of the original. Producer Ed Pressman has given an interview with IndieWire discussing the future of the franchise, confirming that their plans are for a full reboot. Pressman described the Crow as an anti-superhero and confirmed that a director and cast will be announced in the near future. So if you remember, Jason Momoa was attached to this for a long, long time. You can go back here on the channel where I got to join in a conversation with the creator of the comic book. It wasn't really an interview. It was a panel discussion at a very small convention. So it was like just a conversation between like 10 people. But it is up on the in the archive here on the channel, so go check that out. But yeah, he was really awesome to talk to. Let's actually go to this IndieWire post and read their details, since they're the ones that are breaking the news. All right, IndieWire, Crow remake. Skip ad. Okay. Five versions of Bad Lieutenant and a Hippie Millionaire inside Ed Pressman's IP factory. Oh, this is not just about the Crow, apparently. Yeah, nope. Okay. More details coming soon, apparently, is the takeaway from that. Brad Pitt has so much more than just a cameo in Lost City. That looks like it's going to be pretty funny. Not going to lie. Batman director addresses possible Joker crossover. Yeah, that's even less likely to happen than a Joker sequel. Predator reboot Prey is a big creative swing. Let's hope they swing for the fences. Horror reboot, equal parts terrible and pointless, scares up Netflix success. Okay. Charlie Cox wants more time with Bullseye and Spider-Man. Interesting. Again, not something interesting enough for us to get too deep into. They're rebooting White Men Can't Jump. Good Lord. What? We are really out of original ideas in Hollywood, apparently. Ben Affleck flop. Andy Serkis says he loves both. Avatar 2 will stick with its release date later this year. Free Guy 2 script is days away, according to studio president. Interesting. Just because a script gets written, though, doesn't mean a movie will happen. William H. Macy would do a Marvel or DC movie under right conditions. William H. Macy is a treasure. Always a win, that man. Bill Burr is writing a comedy called Old Dad, starring Bobby Cannavale and Bokeem Woodbine. Interesting. I like Bill Burr. More Kenneth Branagh helmed Agatha Christie adaptations on the way. Why is this news? Robert Pattinson is thrilled with the reaction of Batman Crossing, only 70% negative. Edgar Wright has high praise for the Batman. Edgar Wright is also a win. How many balls do you need to play Quidditch? That's not news. Former lover of Marilyn Manson accuses Evan Rachel Wood of trying to recruit her. That sounds about right. 80s movies currently on Netflix. Not news. Snyderverse supporters have Batfleck trending a day before the Batman. George Lucas pays tribute to late Star Wars producer Alan Ladd. Patrick Stewart compares his Doctor Strange to Return to Superman. Weird. Charlie Cox says Daredevil doesn't work as well in a PG-13 environment. This is not inaccurate. All right, I think we've run this well dry. Let's continue on down the line, going over to gaming. Microsoft is one of the latest companies to halt sales and services in Russia. Oh boy. English Elden Ring memes are leaving Japanese gamers hilariously befuddled. Rockstar details, next gen, blah, 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 blah. When does Breath of the Wild 2 take place? First teaser for upcoming Magic the Gathering set Streets of New Capenia. Star Wars Eclipse, we talked about it. You can try. Oh, that's right. Kirby, the new Kirby game has a demo out. You can go get it on the eShop for your Nintendo Switch, and it looks like a lot of fun. Nintendo unveiled their next entry in the Kirby franchise, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, and now players have the opportunity to try it for themselves today. So I think this was actually came out yesterday. Yes, it did. Today, Nintendo released a demo for the game, which you can download from the Nintendo eShop, letting players try out three different levels from the game's world and should be a good taste tester before the game is fully released later this month. Apparently, even if you have it on normal difficulty, it is still ridiculously easy. You can check out the new Mouthful mode, which looks like a whole heck of a lot of fun. New trailer as well. Fun and exciting. Yes, if you are a fan of the Nintendo IPs, then you are super happy right now. Nintendo is launching an interactive trivia game. Yes, but can you win actual prizes? Or is it just, hey, I'm smarter than you? I guess if I'm asking hypotheticals, we might as well get into it, right? Netflix has always pushed boundaries, blah, blah, blah. Announced. There we go. Netflix has announced an interactive trivia game that will hit the service on April 1st called Trivia Quest. Netflix describes the game as our first daily interactive trivia series based on Eternamax's hit Trivia Crack. Oh, so maybe. Number one multi-platform trivia franchise in the world. The game will launch with one episode a day for the entirety of April. The game will use a similar format to the original Trivia Crack mobile game. Each show will contain 24 questions, all in the classic trivia multiple choice format, with the first 12 questions being easy, the second 12 being more challenging, and before you assume the subject matter is just Netflix shows, the press release promises broad-based questions covering science, history, entertainment, sports, art, and geography. Moreover, according to Netflix, a narrative twist will set the series apart from the quiz game apps. Per the press release, Trivia Quest will take players on a, quote, on a mission to help our hero, Willy, rescue the animated citizens of Trivia Land before the evil Rocky. So, just a visual difference? There will also be progression elements in the game as players answer questions and rack up points. To reach certain thresholds, they will unlock animations inspired by Netflix favorites, as well as freeing characters from Evil Rocky's dungeon. Netflix also teases that each quiz will have a definitive ending, though they're keeping it under wraps until the game is released. Nothing. So, no, just bragging rights. That's all you get for being good at trivia. Cuphead Show officially gets greenlit for a second season. Sweet! Cuphead 2 coming. I honestly tried watching the first season twice. I actually got through, I think, the first two episodes, but I started it way too late in the evening, and it was definitely, not a good idea because I fell asleep both times. But that's not necessarily a crack at the quality of the Cuphead Show, because it was pretty funny. March 2nd. Nothing. All right. So moving right along. TV. Former Texas weatherman wins primary. That's funny. NBC Universal yanks content from Hulu. Interesting. What did they yank? Where are you? There you go. While Hulu began as an effort between Fox, Disney, and NBC to stream their content, it now seems that NBC Universal's library of shows and films is set to abandon the streaming pioneer for its corporate feathered friend, Peacock. Yeah, because that is their digital outlet, so that makes sense. Today, Hollywood Reporter revealed that beginning in the fall, new episodes of Saturday Night Live, The Voice, and American Idol will no longer be available on Hulu after their initial air date. It is not clear what other shows or films will be removed, but the Wall Street Journal reported last month that the shift has been focus of parent company Comcast Corp for a while, and NBCU CEO Jeff Schell said it was needed to boost subscribers at Peacock. I think, honestly, Peacock is starting to get it. Also, Bel Air series. What do we think? I still am so much on the fence. Like, there's so much about that I think that they did well, but there's so much about that is like, just why did that need a change? Or change so dramatically? Like, I understand that it is now a dramatic series, but you didn't need to make Carlton the villain. It's so weird. Anyway, that's all we needed for that one. Moving right along. Vikings, Pitch Perfect again. Sebastian Stan looks forward to Pamela Anderson's Netflix documentary. Why? Atlanta season 3 trailer is out now, so go check that out. Beginning of the end, apparently, is the implication. 10 shows like Silicon Valley that are comedy gold. Oh, yes, this was one that was actually sent to me. Boys star reportedly handed a suspended prison sentence for assaulting a Spanish chef. Anthony Starr may have recently channeled his inner Homelander and gotten into a fight with a chef in Spain. The incident must have been pretty serious too, because the boys actor has reportedly been handed a suspended 12-month prison sentence, according to a report by Daily Mail. Starr was arrested on Wednesday in Alicante for drunkenly punching a Spanish pub chef and smashing a glass in his face. He spent 2 nights in police custody before being taken for quick trial. The court sentenced the actor to serve 12 months in jail, though he can avoid prison if he pays a fine of £4,000, effectively, to the chef in 72 hours. No, so I guess that's a good way to kind of segue into, if you want to contribute, honestly, the best way to contribute would be to join the live, because you're probably listening to this in post, because I don't think there's anyone in chat. I honestly haven't been keeping very good tabs on chat. Yeah, no one in chat. But you can contribute easiest is to join the live streams Friday nights, or just send through comments or DMs on the socials, which you have to follow. And yeah, I will do what I can to put it in the show. It has been done, and it will happen again. So continuing American Story, American Crime Story are moving to Hulu. Interesting. No longer on Netflix. Legend of Tomorrow. Ryan Reynolds open to revival of his forgotten sitcom as Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, I believe. Jennifer Hudson has a daytime talk show. Great. Why does Quagmire hate Brian on Family Guy? Not news. All right. Comic books. And then I think we're going to take a moment. James Gunn credits writer Chris Claremont for saving the X-Men. I feel like a valid argument could be made there. Batwoman star had no idea he was auditioning to play the Joker, huh? Robert Pattinson was thrilled. If it's the guy in the picture, that's not who is supposedly supposed to be the Joker. Robert Pattinson was thrilled. The reaction, blah, 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 blah. Yep, this is all stuff. Superman kills Shazam in the Injustice universe, not in the primary universe. Okay, so there was something else, wasn't there? I feel like there was. What was it? It was music related, I believe. Ah, yeah, we're going to go do that real quick. So let's go to Loudwire is where we're going to go. 100 years of Nosferatu. Bah, bah, bah. Where is it? Rammstein Express support. Oh, there was two of them. That's right. And that was the first one. It was Rammstein. So, Rammstein have joined the ranks of high-profile artists who are expressing support for Ukraine amid the invasion of the country by the Russian army as ordered by President Vladimir Putin. A total of 141 countries. Here we go. Rammstein statement. Full statement below. The band Rammstein wishes to express its support for the nation of Ukraine as it resists the shocking attack perpetrated by the Russian government. Above all, at this moment, we feel particular grief for the suffering of the Ukrainian people. Each member of the band has various experiences of the two countries. All members of the band have friends, associates, partners, fans in both lands. We acknowledge the desperation that many Russian fans may feel when faced with the actions of their government, and we want to remember the humanity shared by both Russian and Ukrainian citizens. And then repeat in Russian. So that's one music piece that we're throwing out there. And then Knotfest announces Ginger's replacement. Oh, that's right. They were supposed to be on Knotfest Roadshow. Billy Howardell's drops Haunting debut solo single. We will probably be doing a reaction to that in the near future. Rivers Cuomo reveals Wordle-based Weezer word game Weasel. Flea selling his futuristic California compound for double what he paid. Yeah, that's kind of how real estate's going these days. Gene Simmons' advice for Kanye West involves a bitch slap. There we go. Ginger starts Ukrainian donation campaign, cancels tour. Ukrainian band Ginger have started a donation campaign and plans to donate to charities throughout their home country. The progressive metal band has also now officially canceled all of their shows in North America due to the ongoing war, including their Knotfest Roadshow appearances. Ginger recently released a statement confirming their personal safety as well as the safety of their families. The band condemned the war, stating that, quote, nothing can justify this violence and death of innocents, and this is exactly what's happening in our country right now, unquote. Ukrainian band's bassist Eugene, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, said that said this about their campaign and all of the messages they've been receiving in recent press releases. Quote, thank you all for your concern, messages and prayers sent to us over the last week. We may not answer, but we are reading them and they mean the world to us. As you know, there is war raging through the streets and cities of Ukraine right now. Many people have little or no food or water and are very afraid of what tomorrow may bring. Bassist added that together with Napalm Records, we're releasing two new t-shirts designed to raise funds and be donated to various charities throughout Ukraine to help with medical and food supplies and water and so on. If you cannot donate, then please share or any news related to what's really happening. Please share this or any news related to what is really happening here. Each sale may save somebody's life in Ukraine. Thank you, unquote. All of the proceeds will be directly distributed to a charity of Ginger's choosing, and the band will continue to update us via social media. You can see pictures of the t-shirts below, so if you're watching the video in post, then, oh, that's cool. We want our home back. That's the Ginger logo inside of a gear, and then around that it says, we want our home back. So yeah, you can go to the band's website to help donate, and they will see that the funds go to where they need to go. So that's cool of them. Let's do check in again, since they were supposed to be on Knotfest. They're being replaced by, it would seem, at least for a portion of their dates, Wage War. Has now first leg. It doesn't say anything about the second leg. Oh, there we go. Okay. So it will be, the first leg is In This Moment and Wage War. The second leg is Cypress Hill and Horror. But Horror and In This Moment, I believe, both were already on those bills. So Cypress Hill and Wage War are who is replacing them on Knotfest. So there we have it. That is going to wrap up the news portion of the live show. Thank you very much, nerds, for joining. Once again, if you want to contribute, the live show is the best place to do that. Contributing to the live show is instantaneous, and you're helping out by watching live. Otherwise, if you are listening or watching this in post, or you watch the regular show more regularly, then... by all means, help out and subscribe to the things and do the likes and the things and the stuff. And you can go to the comment section or the social medias and contribute that way. And I will do my best to add your contribution to the next episode. All of that being said, this is where I am leaving all of you in post, unless you are watching the shorts and such. And for those of you who are actually in the chat, we are going to be taking a moment, and then we'll be back to do some gaming, Halo and or Split, Splitgate. And yeah, so... Before we do head out, I almost forgot to do the sign off. Before we do head out, nerds, again, thank you for joining me. And always, always remember that if it is generally nerdy, it is probably here.